au bon marché Receipt, 1860s, read for you by Leila Slimani.
In the opening chapter of Émile Zola's famous novel, The Lady's Paradise, we find the following sentence. In the great metropolis, black and silent beneath the rain, in this Paris to which she was a stranger, it shone out like a lighthouse and seemed to be of itself the life and light of the city. The It referred to is a department store, Au Bonheur des Dames, the Lady's Paradise. And to Denise, the heroine of the novel, it appears as the very thing it was to so many others in those dying years of the 19th century. A theater of modernity, emblem of a dawning era in which women would be given an entirely new role, that of consumers. The prototype for this story, a story about the origins of mass consumerism, product mountains, spending sprees, but also the democratization of shopping, was the legendary Parisian department store that issued the receipt pictured here. The goods listed on it, one blanket, one shirt, one tie, two pairs of stockings and a couple of indecipherable items, were purchased for none other than Le Bon Marché, formerly Au Bon Marché, the first department store of its kind. Thanks to the Industrial Revolution and new manufacturing technologies, shopping habits had undergone a gradual transformation. More people lived in urban areas, in the vicinity of shops, and were now willing to buy things from them that they would previously have made at home and used for many years. Now, they didn't make new purchases every couple of years, but shopped all the time in a process of constant renewal. Hence, the boutique selling new products that were opening up all over Europe. When Aristide Boussicot and his wife, Marguerite, a statue of whom incidentally still stands in the square opposite the store, opened Au Bon Marché in 1852, they followed the principle of stocking constantly new, constantly fresh products, but also expanded on it with a few ideas that were revolutionary for the time. First, they displayed their goods instead of hiding them away in the stockroom. This meant that customers no longer had to hope that a shop owner would be friendly enough to let them look at things, but could blithely touch and try on anything they wanted. If it didn't fit or wasn't quite what they were looking for, they could simply return it. Entry was free. If the customer didn't want to buy anything, she didn't have to, and it was entirely permissible simply to wander the aisle and intoxicate yourself. There were regular special offers, a delivery service, and marketing flyers. It was possible to order things by post and visit during the popular home textiles month, put on several times a year. The Grand Magasin was a temple of consumerism, or, as Zola put it, the cathedral of modern commerce, light but strong, the very thing for a nation of customers. Today, anyone crossing Boussicot Square in the 7th arrondissement of Paris might turn in at the gilded glass doors on the corner of Rue de Sèvres and Rue Velpeau, and enter the cream-colored aisle studded with handbags and jewelry and hats, posing for a moment in the middle of the building, between the stands of cosmetics, to look up at the famous criss-crossing escalators. Standing there, listening to the bustle, the gentle noise of luxury, breathing in the scents of perfume and powder and bathing in the warm light of the space around you, it's possible to imagine how grand, how extraordinarily modern this store must have seemed when it opened in the 1870s. And above all, how proud and excited the women must have been, for whom this wastefully beautiful modernity, this call of the cargo ship of the future, had chiefly been conceived. This was new. Until then, the only public institution that had made any effort to appeal to and manipulate women was the church. But with the advent of department stores like Au Bon Marché, La Samaritaine, Les Galeries Lafayette and others, places had appeared in the urban landscape that function as intermediate space between indoors and out, in which women could spend time without their husbands, amusing themselves and giving free rein to their newly attained power, spending. After all, Madame had just been assigned a new task, where most women had previously contributed to their family income by working. Now, the ladies of the middle and upper classes were given the job of economizing. Manufacturing is male, consumption is female. This, roughly, was the ideology of the time. Or, as the American artist Barbara Kruger would aptly put it a century later, "I shop, therefore I am." The man brought home the money. The woman had to manage it cleverly. She was a professional consumer, they said. Consuming was her job, her duty, the sign of her femininity. The more she bought and the more beautiful those things, the more she did for the prestige of her home and husband. Of course, we still see this today, men draping young women in all manner of expensive bags and clothes to demonstrate their own financial potency. Seen like this, the department store culture launched by Au Bon Marché is the same as so many of the accomplishments of that century. It's impossible to say whether it helped to emancipate women, or instead, might perhaps have subjected them to a new, even more insidious system of repression. On the one hand, mass consumerism and the adverts that were now almost exclusively illustrated with pictures of women gave them a new significance and visibility in the urban landscape. On the other hand, they found themselves increasingly forced to fit idealized image. They became observed objects, only ever behaving in relation to the state of being observed. There were just one kind of female customer who wanted to be anything but seen and observed. This was an entirely new category of lady thief, namely, those ladies who could afford to buy anything but were still regularly led away by store detectives for shoplifting gloves, stockings, ties or necklaces, making them disappear into the folds of their coats. The sheer excess, combined with the new appreciation they enjoyed in their role of consumer, turned many women's heads. They stole not out of necessity but desire. Contemporary psychiatrists found this phenomenon particularly inspiring, and a new, supposedly woman-only disorder emerged in parallel with the department store. Kleptomania, the affliction suffered by all those ladies who left Au Bon Marché with plenty of beautiful things, but without a receipt like this one.